Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Friday, February 4th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, what's happening at the RNC winter meeting? Number two, a bad jobs day on tap for Biden. And number three, Pelosi supports staffer unionization. All right, Jake, let's get into it this morning. TGIF, we are leading this morning's Punchbowl News AM newsletter with some intel from the RNC. It's gathering for its winter meeting in Salt Lake City, and the party is set to vote to censure Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Not necessarily a surprise. Cheney and Kinzinger have been in the eye of the storm, so to speak, at odds with a lot of their Republican colleagues for months, but certainly notable.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the RNC is going to move to kind of whack Cheney and Kinzinger. The RNC doesn't really matter that much. I hate to say this. The Kinzinger and they are it's an organization that's controlled by allies to Donald Trump. I mean, that's the RNC has no bearing on the House Republican Conference. I would say this. I mean, listen, Cheney and Kinzinger, we know their story, right? This is no surprise to me. It's no surprise to you or Brez. Republicans don't like them because they've spoken out against Trump. I mean, that's it, right? That's the whole story. They've been agitating against her and Kinzinger for months. And irony is, Kinzinger and Cheney are much more conservative by any standard than Donald Trump and his allies. But regardless, so they're going to censure them today. So the question then becomes, what does Kevin McCarthy do? Is there a renewed kind of push in the conference to expel Cheney and Kinzinger? They'd need 2/3 of the conference to do so. And McCarthy has been very eager to tamp this down.
Well, it's a sideshow. I mean, his whole focus is on regaining the majority. This is a sideshow. There's no if, and, or but about it.
Yeah, so 2/3 of 212, which is what House Republicans have, is 141. I don't...
Very good.
Yeah, I've not done a whip count here. Could they get that? Maybe. It's a secret vote, so, you know, anything could happen. But the way the leadership sees it, and I've spoken to them a lot about this... Like, Republicans are in a good position. Why turn the spotlight around on them? Like, what is the point here? You know, it makes no sense. Like, keep the spotlight on Biden. This is what they say. And on Democrats, they're in the majority. And what are they doing here? You know, like, what are they doing by trying to expel two people who might not even be in Congress next term? Kinzinger's retired. Cheney has a primary challenge. I don't know if Cheney's going to win or lose. I have no clue. I have no idea. They feel like they won't. Leadership feels like she will lose. We don't have a crystal ball. I left it in my bed this morning. I don't know, Anna. What do you think? I mean, the politics...
Yeah, I mean, on the contours of it all, I agree with it. I think the reason why it matters to us, not the practical implications, right? Nothing changes. But it is, I think, to your point, I mean, I think it really is, we look at what Kevin McCarthy does here, right? You know, if he's seen as protecting Cheney and Kinzinger, that's a problem for him, right? It's a problem for him in terms of damaging his relationship, not only with his membership, but also with former President Donald Trump, something that he has worked hard to maintain since Trump left office. So, you know, I think that is the person I'm watching here, much less of, you know, what it actually means. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning. A bad jobs day maybe on tap for President Joe Biden. The January employment numbers come out this morning at 8:30 a.m. Biden's set to talk about them at 10:45 a.m. The crystal ball here is not a great outlook for Biden.
No, So, no, it's not good. The New York Times reports that this could be a bad jobs number because January was the peak of the Omicron variant, and there's a range of estimates from a gain of 250,000 jobs to a loss of 400,000 jobs. You better hope, if you're the White House, that you don't have a loss of 400,000 jobs, even if it's temporary. But Biden's going to talk about this at 10:45 this morning from the White House before his day. He's going to Upper Marlboro, Maryland today, and then he leaves this evening, late this afternoon, for Wilmington, to his weekend home in Wilmington. I don't know, Anna. The politics of jobs numbers they matter now in a sense that, in a way that they didn't in the Trump era, because Trump and that White House believed the people were messing with the jobs numbers it's not even worth talking about what he thought on this issue, but Biden talks about this every month when there's job numbers, he gives it credence.
Yeah, it's going to be something to watch. And certainly, you know, we're coming off a tough week for Democrats. They weren't able to find a deal on government funding. They weren't able to find any movement really on this, COMPETES Act, like in terms of this pressure that the White House is saying, hey, we need to have this done before the State of the Union. And then he kind of gets hit by this ostensibly. It's just another blow to the White House, which has been trying very hard to have a reset moment. All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning for us. Very interesting what is happening on the Hill right now in terms of employees and staffers in kind of an almost outward rebellion about some of the grim employment standards that each of these offices have. The news here, Speaker Nancy Pelosi throwing her considerable weight Thursday behind a growing movement to unionize Capitol Hill aides. This is a sea change, right? I think the idea that it's a bad place to work, that staffers are, underpaid, have a lot of issues in terms of, kind of minority staffers being able to move up or feel like they're accepted in the workplace. I've done a ton of reporting on this. We've done some public events on it, but this is the real shift from just even like kind of the tacit acknowledgement up on the Hill that this is an issue to, as I said, kind of an outward rebellion.
Yeah, so we have a lot of listeners who work on Capitol Hill, so good morning, you might be unionized. No, I mean, it's a big deal, a massive, massive, massive deal. Lot to unpack here. Anna, you and I have talked about this forever. Every congressional office operates as its own entity. Given that reality, could a union help standardize pay, standardized procedure,
basic operating thing, right? It's still stunning to me that each office, which are very ill-equipped, they aren't healthcare experts, they're not experts in pay and leave and all kinds of things, operate and on a two-year basis potentially, where you're having to restart from scratch.
So here's the other thing, like, I don't know how serious this is, meaning I know a lot of people have been talking about it, right? I have, I just know it's caught on steam in the kind of buzz of Capitol Hill. But is there a union willing to take it on? A big union organization, SEIU, AFL-CIO. I would imagine AFL-CIO would probably be the natural fit here. And will they kind of organize here? And what does that mean for Capitol Hill? I mean, I just don't have a good sense of all the implications here. We're going to have to look into this in a more serious way here. But I mean, for a place that kind of operates in as strange of a way as the Hill does, this would be huge, I'd have to imagine. I mean, leave policies, sick policies. I mean, Yeah, this is just huge. It's huge.
Potential consequences. Whether or not it's just this is kind of, there's talk of it and it fades away, that's going to be the question, right? I think the other thing, obviously, and something we've talked a lot about is this anonymous Instagram account called Dear White Staffers, which, you know, anonymously details bad working conditions on Capitol Hill. It's really caught on just into the zeitgeist of staffers and kind of anonymously being able to post about bad bosses and frustrations that folks have. It's obviously not fact checked, or they don't, you know, make sure everything is, you know, necessarily accurate, but it has really given voice, I think, in this era of social media to a lot of what maybe we might hear in line or people complaining at parties about to this kind of issue that has been, you know, going on for decades.
Yeah. And dear, we keep a very close eye, not very close, but between myself, Brez, and Christian, and even you, and I know Max, all of our reporters, we watch the Dear White Staffers Instagram account. Difficult to do anything. You and I talked about this yesterday. A lot of the claims are, every claim is anonymous. So, kind of wrapping your head around what to think. I'm not doubting any of them at all, but it's tough to report on just anonymous complaints without talking to a person, taking a measure of them, things of that nature. But we're very aware of the complaints, and the unionization effort's serious. I mean, this is a big deal, and Pelosi being behind it is, you know, interesting backstory, Anna. Pablo Manriquez, who is someone that we know quite well, a friend of ours on Capitol Hill. He used to sit in our gallery. He's at Latino Rebels. He asked Pelosi about this during her press conference yesterday, and Pelosi kind of just said, well, I supported the unionization effort at the DCCC, which happened recently. And then later, Drew Hamill, Pelosi's deputy chief of staff, came back and said, actually, you know, here it is. We're for it. So, you know, big deal. We're going to keep an eye on this to the extent we can. A lot of stuff is going on Capitol Hill, but for our readership, this is going to be huge.
And if you are a Capitol Hill staffer and have thoughts, or you're behind some of the efforts to unionize it, certainly feel free to be in touch. We'd be happy to talk about it.
Yes, Anna. Please email us. Just first name at punchbowl.news is our email address. That goes directly to us. We're trying to wrap our heads around this. You could help us wrap our heads around this. And if you're involved or if you have thoughts, please reach out. We'd love to talk to you.
All right. And with that, thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a great weekend. You can leave us a rating and review. Also, the best way to get our content is to subscribe to Punchbowl News at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.